The pop, rock, alt music scene in Maine, rolling through a vibrant summer. If you're a fan of good local music, chances are you have a busy calendar this summer. Maybe one week you're headed to Stone Mountain Arts in Brownfield, the next, the Waterville Rocks Summer Concert Series. And maybe one of the concerts you are looking forward to is the big concert this weekend at Thompson's Point in Portland. The band Guster is celebrating its 25th anniversary with some friends from the Maine music scene, both headliners themselves, the ghost of Paul Revere and Spencer Albee. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk about the Maine music scene with the frontman of Guster, Adam Gardner, singer-songwriter Spencer Albee, and music writer and host Amesel Ponte. What's it like to be making your way as a musician or band in Maine right now? What are some of the best acts and venues? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine may be known for its lobsters, its gorgeous coastline, its rolling mountains and forests, and its burgeoning craft beer business, but Maine is also a place to find great live pop and rock music. Today, we're going to hear about some of bands and venues that you will want to check out this summer. In the studio with me, Amesel Ponte is content producer and music writer at MaineToday.com. She is also local music director and host of Music from 207 at 98.9 WCLZ. Spencer Albee is a Portland-based and nationally acclaimed singer, songwriter, and producer. Rolling Stone magazine has called Spencer a, quote, 21st century master in the lost art of Beatlesque hooks. And Adam Gardner is lead guitarist and frontman for Guster. He and his wife started the nonprofit called Reverb, which works to green the music and concert industry. As always, we want to hear from you. What bands are you excited to see? What are your favorite venues for checking out live music? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to all of you. I don't usually get to spend my morning listening to music. What a great day I've had already. And here you guys are in the studio. So this is certainly fun. I'm going to start by asking you all what the music scene is like in Maine right now. And Spencer, you grew up in Maine. You've been part of the scene for pretty much your whole adult life. Is this right now a good time to be a musician in Maine?
Yeah, it's great. There are more and more venues, which is great. With the advent of Thompson's Point, more and more outdoor shows. And, we have Portland House of Music and even like Frontier in Brunswick. So, yeah, there are lots of Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield. I mean, all these places have been around for a while, but more so than when I started. It was, I don't want to say it was bleak, but they were just like a few places. It was kind of like a growing period there.
Oh, sure. I moved to Maine in 1994, and the State Theater was empty. And people would say, back in the day, this used to be a place where bands started their tour. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And, State's been reopened now for a long time, mm-hmm. and you just named a whole number of venues that have opened since then.
Yeah, sure. Port City Music Hall. But back in the day, you had Raoul's Roadside Attraction.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
T-Bird, which is down in Bayside now.
Okay.
But, yeah, these are just, it was completely different the way people went to see music here in Portland. But now I feel like it's a little more centralized and they have some really beautiful venues downtown.
What about the rest of the state?
Well, I'm kind of just getting reacquainted with playing around the state, frankly. But like I said, Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield is a really beautiful venue, and they work really hard. And I know that, like, you know, we're playing Biddeford River Jam and the Waterville Rocks, so they're all trying to start to bring music out. And Central Gallery, well, it's moving in Bangor, but there are definitely more and more venues in, like, legitimate venues in town.
All right.
Which,
well,
is nice.
Adam, Guster was already pretty successful when you moved to Maine more than a decade ago. Why Maine? Was it because of the music? Was it because it's beautiful?
All of the above. I also married a Mainer. So,
so you had no choice.
Actually, it's funny. I led the charge. We were living in Brooklyn for much, much longer than we intended to. It was supposed to be 1 year while Guster was working on a record together, because the other guys were living there. And I was like, all right, I'll move to New York. I'm from New Jersey, so I was like, I wasn't as enamored with New York City as they were. I was like, all right, let's do it, make a record, stay there for 5 years. And then we got married in that 5 years, and I started thinking about swimming upstream to spawn a little bit back to Maine. I led the charge. It was like, let's really look at Maine and see what's happening. I'd known it from touring. Stone Coast Brewery was a venue in the day that we used to play. And what was that other one?
Asylum?
Yeah, we actually didn't play Asylum. Mm-hmm. It was the Big Easy one point. But
Granny Killam's.
That was like, when I thought of Portland, that's what I thought of.
Well, yeah, so many bands played there. Morphine.
Forgot about that place.
Basically, you get paid in burritos. That was at least that's what we got paid in. And yeah, so for me, it was, I thought I had known Portland and was excited to move there. And then I moved here and sorely underestimated just how amazing it is to be here. And I've fallen deeply in love with this place. And I'm not going anywhere.
All right, great. And Amesville, among other things, you host Music from 207 on WCLZ. So tell me, you've got to put together a show every week. How much good music is coming out of the state? How hard is it to put your show together?
It's the most stressful job I've ever had and also the most wonderful job I've ever had because I have about 40 padded envelopes. Like, I have a huge pile and I feel guilty all the time, but I work very hard to listen to as much stuff and get as much stuff on as I possibly can. And like right at this exact second, I'm totally obsessed with a new band for me called Snug House out of the East End. They're this four-piece indie folk, gorgeous harmonies. I'm insane over them. So I've been playing them a lot. But to answer your question, it's a tough job, but I love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly behind, so I have massive guilt. But it's a really fun show to put together, and I try so hard to make it a really good experience and eclectic mix of
so
stuff.
So how much
of
it is good, those 40 padded envelopes a week? How much of it goes in the one pile
not,
and how much in the
other?
It's
not so much do I like it. Is it interesting? How is the production quality? What is the genre? There's a lot of factors that go into what makes it onto the show. But I have tremendous respect for anyone who will actually make a CD. You're already pretty awesome in my book that you would put yourself out there. And, just keep at it. And I have a finite amount of time and I can only play so many songs a week, but I try super hard to get a lot on there.
So is there a Maine sound?
That's a good question. I mean, we definitely have like a cool indie folk thing going on. And then we've got,
Everyone's got a cool indie folk thing
going on. They kind of do. But then, I think the biggest act in Maine, frankly, is Foes. He's just finished up a national tour and I love him. Ryan Peters is in my book, very nice guy, tremendously talented. Mallet Brothers, Ghost of Paul Revere, they're on the brink. They're going to be
Mallet Brothers and Ghost of Paul Revere, more folksy.
Yeah, like
and you guys more like a great band at a party, like want to dance to, would you say? Would you characterize yourself that way?
Our direction
big party.
All right. Our direction currently is trying to be more of an upbeat band, but certainly my music runs the gamut into folksy.
Yeah.
I think our music's similar in that we're kind of going after that old school definition of pop.
Same.
I think that's it. So if it's dancey, that's great. But if it's just something that it has a melody that you want to remember and sing in the shower and bob your head to a little bit, that's great. I think it's hard to say dancey in the current context.
I guess that's true because I didn't mean dance music. Yeah, I meant, I'm a little older than you guys.
Yeah,
currently the kind of music I would dance to.
It might infer some more, wub-wub than we provide.
Yeah.
So, but you guys aren't singing sea shanties usually.
But there are bands in Maine singing sea shanties. That's a thing.
Yeah, and the Mallet Brothers are singing old logging songs right now. So,
and the Ghosts of Johnson City are singing historical songs about things that happened 100 years ago, and they're doing it in tremendous fashion. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Adam Guster is celebrating its 25th anniversary. First of all, congratulations. That is pretty unusual.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
That's what I was going to say. I have to ask you, do you believe it?
Someone asked me that recently. I was like, I'm having a hard time. I feel like I'm only 25 years old. Never mind having been in a band that long. So, it's time has flown by, and I guess it's because we were enjoying what we're doing. And, I think a large reason why we've been able to stay a band, because I think most bands implode. There's the personalities conflict, creative directions go in different, directions. And, for us, I think we just continue to enjoy making music together, and I think our relationships interpersonally have only gotten stronger, and we're actually in the best place we've ever been as a band interpersonally. And I think creatively, that's reflected in this music we're actually about to record right now.
You're about to go back in the studio,
yeah.
But right now you've been celebrating your 25th anniversary of a big event this weekend. Tell me about it.
Yes, you know, I'm the only one that lives here in Maine from the band. And so we were talking about, well, what do we do for the 25th? You know, what can be some key moments this year as we're really focusing on making a new record and not just looking backwards. We want to keep looking forwards. But we want to acknowledge that we've been a band for this long, and it is a, you know, it is a moment in time for us. So I'm convinced everybody, you know, I just pitched it right away. I was like, middle of August, Maine, it'll make it a destination weekend for all of our New England fans. This is the place. I love it here. My fans will love it here. I want to, you know, welcome everybody to the weekend. So we've actually made it more than just like, okay, Thompson's Point on Saturday, which of course is the main event. But we're doing a full weekend of activities that involve the band, some that are just fan gatherings, because, you know, when you have a band that long, the fans, I think half the reason why they come to the shows are to see each other. The other half, hopefully, is to see us. But, they, you know, there's a community now. So we're setting up, you know, little fan gathering moments throughout the weekend as well. So Friday night, we're doing something, Bayside Bowl, where we're showing our DVD, where we actually filmed it in the State Theater in 2003, before I moved here. And, you know, letting fans gather. And I'm sure somebody from the band will come over and say hi to folks. Saturday day, Reverb's hosting a service project with Allagash and Portland Trails, where we'll be doing a cleanup with fans along there. And then Allagash has been kind enough to then give a tour and a tasting of their brewery, which will be really cool. Of course, then the show. And then after the show, we're doing a get-together with fans at Empire, which I love the restaurant anyway. But then I also was like, well, they have an awesome venue upstairs. Let's do karaoke and trivia up there. And there's like a little inner group that kind of self-proclaimed Gusteroids that have decided that they're the core of the fan base and almost a de facto fan club, if you will. But they just took it upon themselves, so they're kind of hosting it.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and then we're doing a kayak to an island on Sunday with fans and doing a little acoustic set there. And there's more stuff that hasn't quite been announced yet that will be.
Well, congratulations. I know, Spencer, you're part of the festivities this weekend, part of the big concert. Four groups taking part. And yeah. Do you guys all know each other? Do you all support each other? Is the sort of main music scene pretty tight?
I've known Adam for, it's been a long time now. We used to, my former band, Rustic Overtones, used to run into guys. We'd play a lot of the same like college shows. And so that's been a long time. And certainly I'm great friends with the fellas in the Ghost of Paul Revere, and you know, we make music together and hang out. And I know, of course, Kevin Oates. You know, it's just like a tight community. You know, which I feel like you're part of. You guys have always made Portland or Maine kind of a home. I think Maine's always like kind of owned a piece of Guster.
I certainly feel that way, and I hope so.
Like always, whenever it's like when you bring up earlier that you know you're not from here, it's like, oh yeah, like it kind of feels like you are.
That's great. You know, that's awesome. I love to be a you know, from away, but from here as well.
You've paid your dues. You're from here now.
I want to ask you guys, oh gosh, that's a debate for a whole nother show. I want to ask all of you, Amesley, you mentioned Snug House. What are some other new artists you're really excited about?
Well, I just got hip to a duo. They're called Mizuna. They're a duo of a woman named Genevieve and a woman named Mackenzie, and they're kind of Maine-grown Boneham / Cape Elizabeth, but also New York City, and I think one of them is moving to Paris soon.
I'm glad you mentioned them. I know
their
dads.
Oh,
yes.
No kidding.
And I, that's wonderful.
And, Forget. They've been around a couple of years, but they're a synth pop duo, Tyler and Pasha. They put out a really awesome new
Tyler and
EP.
Pasha?
Yeah, Tyler and Pasha. They are Forget. They're really good, great. Duquette, this guy Rob Duquette, who has this whole dazzling resume. He's played with like a gazillion people, like guys from Dire Straits, and done all these cool things. He just put out a new indie rock album called Trust Tonight. He is really great. And again, Snug House. I'm all about the Snug House.
Okay.
I went on their Facebook page randomly. I'm like, I love you guys. Just FYI. Because I just love them.
And what about you, Adam? Do you have a chance to listen to young bands from newer bands?
I'm really excited to check out everyone that's playing with us, honestly. Like, I wish I got out more. I'm a dad. So when I come home from the road, I don't tend to go see as much music as you might think, as I'd like to, actually.
We're going to start hanging out and going to shows.
All right, I'm in.
Done.
I'm in. Show me around. Show me the way.
Your kids old enough to take along?
They're getting there. And so, like, I have a 9-year-old daughter who loves music and is like, why can't I stay to the show? I want to go to the after party. She wants to do everything, and she could, and she's the life of the party. But Yeah, I think we're almost at that point where we can really start going to shows. Getting a record player was really helpful in kind of finding common ground in music. Because a lot of the stuff that I've brought her to so far has been super sugar pop for her. And I can appreciate aspects of it, but it's not something I would go to on my own. So
take her to One Longfellow Square.
Yeah, that's
shows
a great
start
venue.
Early. It's all ages, and they always have tremendous acts in there.
I'll yeah, think. It's so intimate and cool. Mm-hmm. I love that venue. That's a good idea.
What about you, Spencer? Who are you excited about?
From Maine?
Yeah. Or close by.
Yeah, we played with a band called Star-Crossed Losers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they kind of sound like they were vaccinated with a phonograph needle that just played Roy Orbison. So that's right in my wheelhouse. Pardon me. I mean, the hard thing about catching new bands now from Maine, I mean, obviously everybody you mentioned, Amesley, you mentioned a few that I haven't heard and I will seek out, but there are a lot of non-traditional venues happening now, which is kind of, you kind of have to tap into it. Like for me, like I'm 41 now, and so I try to like stay, I want to know what's happening in my town. I want to stay, on top of it. But there are like house parties happening and these bands can kind of come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden they play a club and the first time they play a club, they're bringing in 200 people, which I think is great. The scene right now is kind of like, I know I'm going off topic, but it's kind of like fractured in a weird way. Like it hasn't found its center yet, but I feel like it's all kind of coming back together. I've seen, in the 20 plus years, there's been a few waves, but there is a lot of exciting music happening right now. And I think if I can tip my hat to the Mallow Brothers and the Ghost of Paul Revere for being out there and really, really working so hard, that's where I hang my hat on those two.
Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. As we go to break, we're going to listen to the band that Spencer just mentioned. San Antone is the name of the song, and the band is The Ghost of Paul Revere. They will be playing at Guster on the Ocean this weekend.
I lost my heart in the heat of St. Antoine. I found my love in the cold of the gray white north. I watched my lover roll me over like a river storm. Well, you got
you make Maine Calling possible, as do Holocaust and Human Rights Center of Maine, proud to offer free educational workshops for students and community groups, hhrcmaine.org, and the law firm of Eaton Peabody's Startup Group, working to provide nimble counsel in a fast-paced world.
Whether you listen for a few minutes a day or a few hours,
Africa is facing an invasion by something called the army worm.
Could you be more material about what you mean, Ambassador, when you
authorities are looking into another incident of vandalism at a Jewish cemetery. Police.
One of the points you make is that these are people who often come from groups who have traditionally had a lot of power and privilege.
Whether you listen for hard news or just fun.
You were in your car humming what has become one of the most iconic themes on television right now.
And it's obvious you can't play piano.
I really sound like a squeak toy on some of that.
You have such a soothing voice.
Well, that's very nice if you're coming from a radio professional.
When you listen to NPR, you trust us to be a part of your day, to bring you news and information that's important to you. Help us continue to be the station you count on. Become a sustaining member of this station for the very first time. Now more than ever, we need your help.
And Super Thursday is this Thursday, August 10th.
Hi, Jen Rooks here, your host of Maine Calling. Maine Public Radio is calling on you to do your part to ensure that Maine Calling and the other programs you listen to and value have the support needed to keep going in the year ahead. Our one-day, Super Thursday, on-air membership drive is coming right up, August 10th. Together, we all make public radio possible. New contributors, additional gifts, evergreen monthly sustaining contributions, we all work together so that public radio happens. And if you're a summer visitor, you too can help make Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical possible. You can pledge right now online, if you'd like, at mainepublic.org. Thank you.
Or you can call 1-800-866-1475, and it will be included in our Super Thursday count. Super Thursday, August 10th.
Can't you take a break and let me catch my breath? I beg and plead it. Can you give me space and time? But even though you're far away, you seem so close, because the thought of you is all that's left behind. You'll be the death of me. Don't prove me right.
And that was one of our guests today. That was one of our guests today, Spencer Albee. Your song, You'll Be the Death of Me, from Spencer, oh my gosh, your 20th album.
I know.
Relentlessly Yours. This came out, when did it come out?
May.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
20
you.
Albums. Holy cow. I should welcome everybody back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we're talking about the pop rock scene in Maine. With me in the studio, singer, songwriter, and producer Spencer Albee. Adam Gardner, lead guitarist and singer for Guster and Amesel Ponte, content producer and music writer at MaineToday.com. That's one of the hats she wears. We'll invite you to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. So I'll start with an email that came in this morning. This is from Kristen. The 1932 Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor is a beautiful historic space to see live music year-round. Some upcoming shows include Brett Denon, Kenny Wayne, Shepherd Band, Robert Cray, and Los Lobos. But most of all, we love welcoming the Maine-grown bands like the Mallet Brothers, Chris Ross, and the North and Golden Oak to the stage. There is something really special about hearing live music in an historic community space like the Criterion. It is made even more spectacular when that talent is a neighbor or friend or just a fellow Mainer. So you've played the Criterion, right, Spencer?
I'm playing there this fall.
Great. So yeah. Is that going to be your first time?
It will be,
oh,
yeah.
Fun.
I'm excited. I've actually never played Bar Harbor before, so.
Yeah, not a terrible place to have to spend.
I've been there a bunch, but I've just never been able to play. So.
Amesel, where else? What would you add to the list of Criterion? Where else?
Oh, well, I love the Boothay Opera House. I just saw Joan Osborne do a Bob Dylan show a couple weeks ago. I love that place. It's supposedly a little bit haunted, which makes it even cooler. So definitely Boothay Opera House. The Strand in Rockland. I haven't been there in a number of years, but I love, love the Strand. And three places I need to get to, Camden Opera House, Waterville Opera House, and Stonington Opera House, all have cool shows. A lot. And those are definitely worth your time. And of course, then there's places like Savage Oaks Winery that's having Lyle Lovett. They just had Graham Nash. It's a winery in Union, Maine that is now putting on huge national act shows.
And that is a trend now, isn't it? Spencer, you mentioned sort of the house party kind of trend for emerging artists, but this outdoor venue, we've got the big Thompson's Point where you're going to be this weekend with Guster and the Guster on the Ocean, but a lot of kind of smaller, unconventional maybe, outdoor venues, big trend.
The deck at Bayside Bowl, there's bands playing up there now.
Yeah.
It's great.
And it's working on both ends, right? Like Bangor Waterfront hasn't been there that long either. And,
right.
And
that's the biggest stage I've ever seen in my life is at that place, at Darling's Waterfront Pavilion. Huge.
Yeah, so that's been neat. I think that's always been my challenge is, you know, especially with the reverb side of what I do, where we work with these artists and we employ folks from Maine in Maine. Our office is in the Old Port, but we up until recently didn't do much work in Maine because we were working with these national touring acts that were playing 10,000 plus size venues.
So I want to talk about reverb, and we have an email from Paige. She says, I've seen reverbs set up at Thompson's Point. Are you at other venues? How can I get involved? So reverb is trying to green up the music industry. What do you do? What is it? I mean, I'm guessing that's no styrofoam cups at music venues, but probably a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, it's a long list. It depends. So most of the work we do tends to be with the artists themselves. So we started in 2004 with Alanis Morissette and Barenaked Ladies. They did a co-headlining tour and then quickly started working with Dave Matthews Band and Maroon 5 and John Mayer. So a lot of the bigger tours that do national venues will actually insert people from our staff into their touring crew. So just like a guitar tech or a sound guy, we have our reverb staff on tour taking care of putting biodiesel in the buses and trucks, sourcing local farm food for catering, working with the venues, because especially back then in the beginning, hardly any venues even recycled. It was really dismal at the beginning. Now it's composting and it's getting these venues closer to zero waste altogether. And then a huge part of what we do beyond the greening behind the scenes is engaging fans at the front of house to take action, plugging into local and national environmental groups. So we'll in what we call an eco village. So actually at the show this Saturday, we'll have a reverb eco village there. That's kind of blown out from what we have all season at Thompson's Point, which is a converted shipping container where we're offering free filtered water. We have a water station there for fans to fill up their reusable water bottles to get rid of single-use disposable plastic waste from water bottles that you know, that's a big problem at venues at the end of the night. You just look at all the plastic on the ground. It's kind of sad. So we're doing all sorts of stuff. We'll have local nonprofits there, Portland Trails, Baykeeper, Rosalia Project. Ben and Jerry's will be there too, giving everybody ice cream that participates in the Eco Village, which is always a nice incentive.
Ben and Jerry's? Did you say Ben and Jerry's? So to Paige's question, how can she get involved?
Yeah, if you go to reverb.org, there's a volunteer portion right there on the site that you can plug in to volunteer at tours, at venues. We also have season-long programs at State Pier and at Bangor Darling's Waterfront Pavilion and in Mansfield, Massachusetts as well. And again, all season at Thompson's Point.
All right. We'll go to Max, who's calling from Bath. Hi, Max. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hi. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the studios in Maine. I know that kind of contradicts the live music, but there's some unbelievable studios that are kind of hidden and out of the way, and I wanted to give a shout-out to them. I'm currently working on one called Anchor Studio, and it's unbelievable the sound you can get out of Maine, I guess. And I kind of wanted to hear from the guys about their experience about recording in Maine as well.
Have you ever recorded here in Maine?
Yeah, we did a little bit. We went up to Camden to Hear Studio.
I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's Jason Hurst has a studio up there, and it's gorgeous. And we had an incredible time. We did some acoustic demos there. Actually, we released them, so I guess acoustic tracks.
Right. There's a place called Rocking Horse up that way as well. And then in town, we have the Halo, which is out just almost in Wyndham, John Wyman's studio.
Yeah.
That's not his, but he works out of there. And then... yeah, there's the studio on Casco Street, and down in Kittery, there are like you said, is it Max?
Yep.
Yeah, peppered throughout the state, like a lot of like project studios, or you can make a full, major label, using my quote fingers, quality recording here, no problem. And of course, we have Gateway Mastering in town, which is.
Yeah, which is Bob Ludwig's very famous place. Yeah. Max and Beth, thanks so much for calling. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. We have a Facebook post. Somebody recommend another Max, OC and the Offbeats.
Oh, okay. So OC and the Offbeats. I'm jumping in here. I was walking home from the Tegan and Sarah concert, and they were playing outside at Slab. And I ran in and I was like, you guys are so great. And they gave me a CD and I just played it on Music from 207 the other night. It's half the Fog Cutters and they're a tremendous band. And Emma Stanley was playing flugelhorn and I love that band.
Okay. So did they know who you were when you ran in and said?
Well, I'm Facebook friends with a lot of musicians who I haven't actually met in real life. I had met Emma, but I hadn't met some of the guys in the band. I'm like, hey, aren't we Facebook friends?
That's
so it was
fun.
But I love with a CD and like sometimes I cut my own line of that aforementioned big pile of CDs. I get really excited about something and I run into Seals. Like, can you please add this for me right away? And they accommodate my insanity all the time. But yeah, we've seen the Offbeats. They're tremendous.
We have an email from Maxine. The ghost of Paul Revere has played with Spencer and they're from Maine. Yes, we know. Phenomenal holler folk band. They've played at the Old Port Festival State Theater and I believe they're opening at Thompson's Point for Guster this summer. Yes. Rob on Facebook. Hey now, Rob Carlson from the Bruins here. We are original and cover jam band, classic rock and more, celebrating our 5th anniversary. Shout out to all my musical family and venues like Funky Bow Brewery. Thanks for all the support. Find us at Bruins.net. You guys familiar with the Bruins?
The Bruins. You just played at an event that
it's
we
a
had.
Facebook post, so we can't answer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's not on the air. Well, yes, I knew who they are. It's Bruins. It's Brewins. The Bruins. Yeah, I knew who they are.
Yeah. And we have our engineer John Keimel nodding as well. Kristen on Facebook says the Hollow Body Electric Band. Marcus says, give a shout out to Portland's own Jaw Gems.
Oh, my God.
Pop, but awesome nonetheless. So Jaw Gems, J-A-W Gems, as in stones. Mm-hmm. Tell us about them.
They're tremendous. They kind of started, there used to be this Tuesday night jazz night at Local 188, and it was a rotating cast of musicians kind of, but it just music would happen. And after a while, it just morphed into the Jaw Gems, which is always a three-piece, some then also a four-piece. So it depends on whether everyone was in town or not. But now I think they're touring as a four-piece. And they're
so
great.
They so, got to know each other through kind of an open mic night kind of thing?
Not really open mic. Like
Invited?
Like, yeah, it was just kind of like a night. Like they
had kind of a residency thing.
It was a residency, exactly. And it just kind of morphed into what it became. You know, DJ Moore on drum, Tyler on drums, Tyler Quist on everything. He's a wizard. Yeah, they make a totally outer space sound.
And their videos are equally as
– yeah.
You don't even understand what you're looking at. It's so cool.
Yeah, and they're just all tremendous musicians and great guys, and they're actually out on tour pretty constantly. So we actually haven't seen too much of Jaw Gems around here.
Speaking of tour, both of you guys tour a lot, right? How many shows a year, Adam?
Less than it used to be, for sure. We're all, like I said,
we're all parents now.
We're all family men.
Okay,
familyed up.
But yeah, we're all familyed up. When it's not, if it's an album year, so like next year when we release record, we'll probably be gone for half the year. I'd say 6 months. But otherwise, I'd say closer to 3 or 4 months a year is when we're, you know, in total. So number of shows, I mean, it used to be 200. You know, we used to be gone 10 months out of the year, but now I'd say it's probably more like 100. Or so, depends.
Only 100, Adam?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm slowing
still
down in my old age.
Trying to get my head around that.
Is there a screening process to get on the show?
What about you, Spencer?
I used to, kind of like Adam, I used to tour nonstop for about 15 years. And then I kind of had a Brian Wilson moment and just kind of stayed home for a while, got a dog and learned how to, like, I roasted my first chicken at 33, you know, which is a little late. But I'm now just kind of dipping my toes back into going out and touring again. So
okay, and you're kind of in the middle of a bunch of shows
now,
aren't you?
Yeah, we just put out a record, so we're trying to get behind it, and it's going great. I'm really enjoying it, and the band I'm in I'm psyched to be part of. They're great people.
I love that they're measuring your domesticity in roasted chicken.
Awesome. I think it's a fantastic analogy.
It paints a perfect picture. I love it.
Like, I just remember what I asked.
I didn't chicken in the oven until I was in my 30s, I'm sure.
Is that true?
And I wasn't touring either, right?
Yeah.
So Penthea on Facebook says, I am excited to be going to see Rhonda Dale's show when she honors Patsy Cline, of Patsy Repertoire
Songs.
Uh-huh. It's this Friday, August 11th at 7:30 p.m., Rhonda fronts a five-piece band with Rob Babson, guitar and harmonica, Peter Donnelly, piano, Mike Bird, stand-up bass, Brian Hodgman, drums, and there'll be a special guest or two. Deer Trees is a really cool historic performing arts theater out in the woods in Harrison,
You know,
Maine.
She used to, Rhonda, if you go to maintoday.com, you can read my whole story on this show. She grew up, her mother used to play, she used to go to bed listening, to... Nice cough. To Patsy Cline records when she was a kid, Rhonda did. So she's a lifelong fan, and this is a really, really special show.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll try to add as much as we can to our Maine Calling Facebook page. We'll go to Gardner and Robert. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Hello, Ms. Rooker. My name is Robert Saunders, and I live in Gardner, Maine. I was quite disappointed on Saturday night to be down for the Alabama Shakes show, which I anticipated and hoped would be a fine evening celebrating my wife and I's 34th anniversary of meeting together here in Maine and finally landing in Gardner, Maine. I am partially disabled, and I sat in the designated area, which was quite fine. The warm-up group was great, and I could hear it. As the evening progressed, because of the weather conditions, it became on and off with spatterings of rain and at times a little bit of a downpour, but all of the people out on the field wishing to hear Alabama Shakes. Toward the end, they all rushed underneath where the alcohol is being sold. And it got to a point where I couldn't even hear
Robert, now, this was the show on the Portland waterfront, right, at the Main State Pier?
Mm-mm.
No. Thompson's Point. Okay. I understand. Yeah. And, you know,
sure.
We're talking about these outdoor venues, but there's an issue with outdoor venues, isn't there, that the weather doesn't actually follow the calendar.
Yeah, sorry to trample you there. But there's the weather. There's also, you know, it's a new venue. This is only their second or third season. You know, they're dealing with noise ordinances. Like, there are neighbors that aren't used to, you know, hearing, even though it's like there's an airport right there, but like hearing that music can kind of trigger some calls to police and stuff like that. So there's a lot of balls in the air.
And
you know, especially the weather, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have someone from the organization here to talk about the shows, but Ainsley, you know,
I followed all of the events on social media, and they worked so hard to do right by the over 6,000 people that were there, and it might not have been perfect, but there was a lot of concern. There was constant looking at the forecast and following what I think are mandated guidelines about what to do with lightning and all that, and the parking lot was crowded and the weather got iffy. I did not actually go to the show, but I heard when they actually performed, Alabama Shakes put on a heck of a good show, and it's tough with an outdoor show for sure. So I definitely feel for the caller for sure.
Robert, thank you for your call and congratulations on your anniversary. We do have to take another short break, but before we do, a word about tomorrow's show. We're going to discuss the history of vaccinations. Share your thoughts on our Facebook page. Send us a tweet or email talk@mainepublic.org. That's the history of vaccinations tomorrow on Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Skudik Institute, advancing ecosystem science and learning for all ages through a partnership with Acadia National Park, skudikinstitute.org, and InSource Renewables, committed to reducing solar costs in partnership with Greater Bangor Solarize, greaterbangorsolarize.org.
Hello, this is Tamara Keith. Maine Public Radio and NPR News bring you real news, without the fluff. Every time you listen, you get headlines telling you about the most important events in the news, and long-form reports that give you the depth and breadth you need to truly understand what's happening. Add to this feature stories that introduce you to people, places, and ideas you didn't even know you'd want to know about until you hear them. That's Maine Public Radio and NPR News. It's why you listen, and it's why your financial support is so important. Please call 1-800-866-1475 or go to mainepublic.org now and have your donation counted towards the Super Thursday one-day membership drive.
And Super Thursday is this Thursday, August 10th. Join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for World Affairs. We'll hear from UC Berkeley sociologist Dr. Arlie Hochschild, who looks at what drives voters to the election booth. That's World Affairs coming up after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. To black and white TV.
And that's Guster, songs Dear Valentine from the album Ganging Up on the Sun. And Adam Gardner from Guster is here with me in the studio, as well as Amesel Ponte, host and music writer, and Spencer Albee, Portland-based, nationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. We are talking about pop rock scene in Maine. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. I'm so excited. Maine Public's own Sarah Willis is on the line with us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And Amesel, I think, has something she wants to say to you.
Well, you're just my hero. And I think I commented on one of your In Tune by 10 playlists that we're best friends, even though we haven't met, Sarah. And you are the playlist queen of all music. So,
well,
seriously.
We are best friends because the music brings us together.
It does.
When we finally get to sit down and talk, we'll just be blah 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 blah.
We're going
to
cancel each other out. We're going to sit there and have actually nothing to say. It's going to be amazing. But your show is my favorite thing. So keep up the good work.
So Sarah, go ahead.
It's a joy to do it. Well, it's just so much fun.
I want to ask you one of the questions I asked our guests earlier. Do you think Maine has a sound or a reputation, Maine music?
It's funny because if you look back to the kind of early days of bands like Aztec Two-Step or Dave Mallet, that was kind of a folky sound. But I think now there's a real country western root sound in some of the bands that are coming up now, like, say, the Mallet Brothers. I think country music has, you know, some Dick Curlis. And blues also has, you know, just a lot of a place in the ears of Maine artists like the Star-Crossed Lovers. I agreed with whoever said they were a nice upcoming band. They are, and they have kind of a bluesy sound to them. And I think that definitely blues and country are in the Maine blood.
So, Sarah, who are you really excited about right now? What new CDs from Maine have crossed your desk and or come into your studio that made you excited?
Well, I agreed with the Forget. It's just really interesting sort of electro-pop sound, and the Star-Crossed Lovers. And also there are some kind of older people that are still making, not older in age, but that have been around for a while, like Lady Lamb, who is, you know, well-known, and Slade Cleaves has a new album. Slade lives in Austin now, but I think if you asked him, he'd say he's a Maine boy through and through. And there's a band called Tough Cats from the coast of Maine who I love. There's a lot of great music being made here. And I wanted to just say one thing about studios. There's a really cool studio called the Great North Sound Society in Parsonfield. It's a farm. And you go there as a band, and you stay, and you make your record there. And they've made some great records, Josh Ritter's records among them.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for calling in. And that's Sarah Willis, Maine Public Zone, host of Intune and Amesel Ponte's hero. Thanks, Sarah. But Amesel, you wanted to build on that, what Sarah said about some people who've been around for a while making really good music.
Oh, all right. So Carol Noonan. So
one of my favorite people in the whole world, by the way.
Nicest person in the world. And yeah, I mean, I want to have, you know, if I get run over by a truck on the way out of here, I definitely want to have my memorial service held at Stone Mountain Arts Center, because that is a sacred place to me. But
noted.
People always talk about Stone Mountain Arts Center, but I feel like not enough people talk about Carol Noonan as a singer. And I remember back in my college radio days at Keene State College in New Hampshire, playing a lot of her old band, Knots and Crosses, and then she put out her first solo album, I want to say circa 96, called Absolution, 95, 96, and I've just followed her closely for all these years. She's truly one of the best singers. Like, if I'm stuck in an elevator, like, who's your favorite singer? Like, she's like in the top five. She has an absolutely tremendous voice. And then finally, it was finally about 4 years ago, it was the first time I actually saw her sing live. I immediately started crying. Like, in her venue, she started singing, like, a Christmas song. I totally lost it. But she just put out a record a couple months ago called Raven Girl, which is the songs of Richard and Mimi Farina. Mimi is Joan Baez's late sister. And it's tremendous. I played all the time on the show about five different songs. So she's, you know, Sarah Willis is my DJ hero, and Carol Noonan is my everything else hero, pretty much.
Oh,
she's
my
so
God.
Nice.
And
too.
She's really nice. And she's like a gourmet chef. I mean, she does everything. If you go to a show there, like, I'll be going there in a couple weeks, and you see her for like 1 second, because she's usually like on the line cooking and running around and like introducing the band. And she, I don't know when she sleeps, but she's tremendous.
You show up at her venue. Like, we stopped by the other day because we were in the neighborhood, just to stop by, and because we're playing there in September. And, you know, there's a tour bus unloading. It's something you'd see in the middle of, you know, Manhattan, but it's in the woods loading into a barn. And, you know, she and her partner just running around, you know, with aprons on, cooking the food for the bands, cooking the food for the people that'll be eating there that night.
She's going to make you a cake, not to ruin their eyes.
Well, there goes, that's impressive. I only get to play there for the first time once. now she'll feel like she has to make me a cake. I don't want her to feel
well.
But she would. But you get that sense from her that she, you know, that they built that venue because as musicians, like, yeah, they understand what it's like to have a little home away from home for a moment.
We have a nice tweet from John. Spencer Albee has it right. Some awesome music being played in small and alternative venues, pubs, tasting rooms. Adam on Facebook. I'm always blown away by the live music support by some smaller bars and restaurants. Places like Slab, Gritty's, and the Frog and Turtle in Westbrook support some amazing names you don't hear regularly in the bigger clubs. Artists like Phil Divinacki, did I pronounce
Divinsky.
That?
No, Divinsky.
Divinsky.
Oh, it's a typo here. Pete Witham and the Cosmic Zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Hello Josephines are all amazing and kind of fly under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Hello Josephines, if you're listening, please send me your CD. I don't know who you are, but I want to know.
But that's how, I mean, we've got a nice ecosystem where you can build up and play a smaller club and maybe outside of Portland and gather that.
Engine
following.
Down in Bitterford, they have some live music
or
going
elements,
on there.
Elements
and Elements
too,
yeah. Bitterford has it going on.
Adam, you taking notes?
Yeah, I am. Definitely I am. Actually.
Where to bring the daughter? Alexander from Facebook. To move slightly north from the Portland scene, the Unity Center for Performing Arts in Unity, a great central Maine venue with such bands as the Mallet Brothers, the Ghost of Paul Revere, as well as many other local and national acts. In Waterville, you mentioned the Opera House, but mainly Brews is also a great spot for local music in that city. Another new one that's good is Threshers Brewing Company in Searsmont.
I've heard of Threshers.
Nice. I think we have more than 60 breweries in Maine, and a lot of them are having
more than 90.
Now it's up to 90. Yeah, we're going to break 100 like in about
there's
by
a lot
the time
synergy.
The show ends.
There's a lot of synergy between the brewers and musicians.
Yeah, like, I've gone to Funky Bone and heard live music there. It's a lot of fun. I heard the Muddy Ruckus there a couple months ago, and what a fun place to see a show.
Zoe from Facebook, one of my favorite things about being a Mainer is the support that smaller bands get from fans, other artists, and venues. One of my favorite shows this spring was the Borderlines at Bissell Brothers. Punk, pop, rock, rocks.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to mention Bissell Brothers, having weekend friends there.
Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite bands in Maine.
Yeah, I can't believe we
How did
to
we go this
too.
Far into the show without talking about
another hard
Sonia, Annie, and Cam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm trying to take notes here and getting ahead of myself. Robert from Facebook, my favorite jam band, Mo.
Oh, sure.
Mo,
yeah.
Has very strong ties with Maine. Lead singer and bassist Rob Durhack lives in Falmouth. I'd like to send best wishes from all the Maine Mo Rons to him as he faces a new cancer diagnosis.
Oh, no. I didn't know about that.
So, and Peter from Facebook, great show today. Do you folks know about Hollow Body Electric Band from Bath and their rock opera one-way trip to Mars opening at the Waterville Opera House at the end of August?
Yeah, this is such a really, really cool thing. My buddy Bob Keyes wrote about it, and you can find it, I think, on either PressHerald.com or MaineToday.com. It's very, very cool, very original thing they're doing, this one-way trip to Mars. And I've been hearing about it for a couple of months, and I actually think I have to go and see it because it's so unique and interesting.
We'll go to Grace calling from Oxford. Hi, Grace. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I want to start by saying I'm such a huge Guster fan, so this has been really fun to listen to. And I just thought I'd mention I'm a fan of Handsome Ghost, and Tim Noyes wrote, the lead singer wrote Norway Maine. He has an album that he did exclusively out of a camp in Norway, Maine. So I thought that was pretty cool. And he's
Grace, did you say Handsome Ghost?
Yep.
Like good-looking, handsome?
Yep.
Huh. Noted.
And they played the State Theater last summer. I got a chance to see them. They opened for Melanie Martinez. But their sound is really, really beautiful. And I just thought that was a cool stripped-down thing to do, to try to put a whole album together, sort of, you know, Bon Iver-esque, held up in a camp in Norway, Maine. So there's lots of cool stuff going on, music scene in the state. And, again, like, so pumped to get to the Guster show this weekend.
We'll see you there.
Thanks, Grace. We have, let's see here. Murray wants to know on email, please ask Spencer if he plans to continue the Beatles nights he's organized in Portland over Thanksgiving weekend. They are incredible shows, great fun. I understand these are kind of legendary, Spencer.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but you can.
No, they are. They're legendary. Call them what they are.
This will be our 15th year, and we're going to do Beatles nights. We're doing a three-night stand this year. Friday night, we're going to play Revolver in its entirety and a bunch of other songs. And Saturday night, we'll do Sgt. Pepper in its entirety and some other songs. And then we're going to really make our Sunday show really about families and the kids.
So. And where is this?
State Theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving weekend.
The weekend after. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Rebecca from Facebook. Personally, I'm super excited to see the incredibly talented Katie Matzel Music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Perform at One Longfellow Square August 25th. For all of that... have not heard, had the privilege of hearing her incredible talent, I suggest you do your ears a favor and check out her upcoming
show. She will be on my show very, very soon.
She's about
to send me the single. Waiting with
bated
breath.
Is this a reminder?
Yes. She knows.
If you're listening.
Okay, we're going to go quickly to Jason calling from Freeport. Hi, Jason.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I moved here a couple of years ago with a band that I keep running across that I've really enjoyed. It's called String Tide. And they're all Maine guys. I guess they met at Bowdoin College, but they just played at the Frontier. And I think you can probably, I think they have a Facebook page, but they were very enjoyable. I just wanted to give them a plug.
So kind of a pun on the spring tide, but string tide.
Right, yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to Neil in Poland. Hi, Neil. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. It's in Portland. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to Chris Clark and Herb Gideon, somewhat from folks back in the day of who opened the Zoots Club Cafe, which were really instrumental in bringing a lot of incredible music here in an affordable space for people and restarted a scene here. Mm. So that was it.
Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, he's so right. Chris Clark, he's another hero.
And that, there's that place, which is now a Zen Chinese bistro. It used to be called Trees Lounge.
Right.
You know, Fish played there. Soundgarden played there.
Indigo Girls, I think, played there way before I lived in Maine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And Chloe from Facebook says, don't forget about the Black Fly Ball in Machias, Maine. So this weekend, though, big event on the water, Guster on the ocean. I understand, Adam, you want to make this an annual event?
That's the goal. Yeah, I think hopefully it seems like it's all lining up to be something like that. So I can't imagine why we wouldn't.
Okay, and are there tickets still available?
They are. For Thompson's Point, they are, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. You have several events, but the Saturday night show, still tickets available.
Yes, there are.
Well, this has been really fun. Thanks to all of you for being here on Maine Calling. That you just heard Adam Gardner, lead guitarist, singer with the band Guster, Amesel Ponte, content producer, music writer at Maine Today. She also hosts Music from 207. And Spencer Albee, singer, songwriter, and producer. John Keimel ran the board today. Ellie Sharp answered your calls. You can find past editions of Maine Calling at mainecalling.net. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, the history of vaccinations. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
There's something dripping out. Before the many names were lost, we had integrity and clout. Chances are you'll never know. Cover your tracks so it doesn't show. Changing textbooks to stay in line. To hell with you. I got mine.